Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited for the word tonight. I hope you are too. Glory to God. You know, Lord has been dealing with me on so many things lately, but in this vein, praise the Lord, and a lot of things on trusting Him. Amen. And I have to believe that if God's dealing with me on it, there's a reason that He's dealing with me on it, and it's probably because you all need it as well. Praise the Lord, because He doesn't just give me messages for me, although He does give me messages for me, but it's not just for me. You know, the Word will change our lives. Amen. And we want to continue to flow and continue to be hooked up. Amen. I like that, John. I think John coined a new phrase tonight or new phrase around here. I don't know. I liked it, though. It was the glory flow, right? The glory flow. I like that. I don't know if he said it on purpose or accident. We'll just say it was the Holy Ghost working through him. Praise the Lord and believe. But man, I like that. The glory flow. We need the glory flow. Amen. In our lives. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the glory flow? You know, the wonderful thing about the move of God is it's not hard to get into. When God's doing something, it's not hard to be part of it. You just decide, you know what? I want to be part of it. It is literally that simple. The thing I've found is that if there's anything that I desire, especially things that I don't know how to get into, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the Bible doesn't specifically go into detail about. And there's an element of faith of walking it out. Amen. Now, the Bible does give us enough for life and it gives us enough examples so we can know the direction we're going is right. But if we'll be people that will be full of the Word, if we'll be people that follow the Spirit of God, amen, and we just decide, you know what, if you want something, if you desire more of God, if you don't know what it is, praise the Lord, you're just like, I don't know how to get there even, just start hungering for it. Yeah. Let the Lord know you're hungry for it. Say, God, I want more of what you got. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you carry that attitude, I guarantee you that He will show you the way that you need to go. Amen. He'll show you how to get there. There were some people that I wanted to be connected with, and I didn't know how to get connected with them. I didn't know how to make it happen. Praise the Lord. I just trusted Him because it was on my heart. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37 that He gives us the desires of our hearts. Praise the Lord. The Bible says He gives us the desires of our hearts. And so if you're desiring something and you have a half a godly brain in you, praise the Lord. Guess what? You'll get there, amen? Because God's desire is that you get what you desire. And if His desire is to get that, if it's a good thing, He'll make sure you get it, amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Today's message is today. It's called Today is the Day. Amen. Now, one thing you're going to notice that's different is we're not going to put the scriptures up. And you might wonder to yourself, why aren't we putting scriptures up? We probably aren't going to do that anymore. And the reason is, and I've noticed this too, but we got some correction recently. Pastor Nancy delivered a really awesome mentoring session. But one of the things she said, pastors, you can put the scriptures on the board or up on the screen if you want. But what you're going to do is you're going to make your people lazy. And they'll stop bringing their Bibles to church. And we need to make sure that we're bringing our Bibles to church. And the reason is this, is because if you're not bringing your Bible to church, then you're probably not using it much at home either. The Bible is the Word of God. It is our sword. It is our weapon. If we're not well acquainted with it, we fall victim to the devil. And so I'm doing you a favor by doing that. So don't think I'm picking any. I'm not looking around to see if anybody's got their Bibles or anything like that. So if you didn't bring it, well, praise the Lord. You're fine. Just bring it next week. Amen. And if for some reason you don't have one, then let us know. We'll make sure you get one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Most important thing I have and probably in my possession is that word. Amen. I mean, because it helps with everything. There's nothing that it doesn't touch. Amen. Today is the day. Glory to God. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is we're going to be talking about focusing on the here and now. Amen. We're going to be talking about focusing on what God has for us right now, to do right now, and not to get out of bounds. Amen. We want to stay right in the flow where God has us. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that we can't plan for the future. I'm not saying that we can't, you know, have things we want to do 10 years from now or 2 years from now. You should have those things. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But what we're going to be talking about is the focusing on right now and not getting caught up into worrying about tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, as I even I was praying this out one day, I don't know, it's probably been a couple weeks now. And this is what I heard in my spirit. So I started praying along these lines, but it was, show me that which you have for me today. Amen. And I started praying that way. You know, there's so many things that we can get wrapped up in. Man, we can start thinking about, you know, what are we going to do a year from now? What are we going to do 6 months from now? Whatever. What are we going to do when this comes or when this happens? But that is all out of bounds. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we're supposed to be people that hear from God. And God will direct us every single day. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. I have been putting this to practice more and more in my life. And one thing I have found is the more that I seek God, the more that He directs my paths. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad He directs my path? But I'm glad He'll direct your path too. Praise the Lord. So why don't we go ahead and start? We're going to start Matthew 6:34. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:34. Good scripture. One we're probably all familiar with. Praise the Lord. It says here, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. praise God. He says, there. I actually wrote this down in my Bible. Praise the Lord. Because when you see a scripture start off with the word therefore, it means there's something that comes before it. It means it's connected to something before it. Amen. So if you back up to verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All what things? Well, all the things that He was talking about in the previous scriptures. We're not going to read all of them, but that's what it says. All those things shall be added to you. And then basically that's everything. It covers everything that's needed for life. Yeah. Everything that you need for the day-to-day, for living. So if you're sitting there worried about what you're going to do or how you're going to pay your bills and all this stuff, you're not somebody who's really connected to what God's doing yet. Because if you're worried about it, then it means you don't trust Him. And if you don't trust Him, you don't trust Him for one or two reasons. Either you're not connected to what He's doing or you haven't learned that you can connect to what He's doing. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So it goes on to say, because all these things shall be added to you, therefore... Amen. You know, we have to remember that scripture wasn't written in chapter and verse. It was written as a continual thought. Amen. Or you know, when a book was written, there was a thought process that was going on. It's kind of like if you write a letter to somebody, you don't break up every sentence. Now, they were broken up into scriptures for us so we could easily find them and refer back to them. Aren't you glad? Yes. Amen. Amen. Because it'd be so much harder to read this. Well, the Hebrews read from what? Right to left. And they read it in Hebrew. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that I can read it normal. Amen, aren't you? But we can read, we need to read this and we need to remember that. Therefore, because Jesus was saying, all these things shall be added for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. In other words, if you get in and you learn how to follow the Spirit of God, He will take care of you every day. He will make sure you have more than enough every day. And if you don't have it, He'll show you how to get it. If you connect to what God is doing, you have to connect to God. Amen. Now, you just need to be a person who's hungry after the Lord and just decide that you're going to go in that direction. And He will ensure that you get there. But you can't worry about it. So many people, this is an epidemic in the body of Christ, is the worry that gets on the body of Christ. And people just don't get that worry is as much of a sin as stealing is. Worry is much of a sin as swearing is. Yeah. So if you wouldn't swear, you wouldn't steal, you probably better not worry either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. In other words, when you get to that bridge, God will show you how to do that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this in the Message Bible. This verse in the Message Bible, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's what he's saying. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Amen. Amen. That just takes all the pressure off of us. We ain't got to figure it out. You're like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, I don't need self. I don't need to know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Because God will take care of me then too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus was trying to get our focus on the right thing. How many know that Jesus wants our focus on the right thing? Amen. That's why He gives us the word. But see, this is what we miss. We have to decide in our hearts at some point that the word is either true or it's not. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to help you. It is true. Amen. But if you'll decide in your heart that it's true and then you see the word and you just accept it, things will start changing. Yeah. But see, it's when people question it, that's when it doesn't work. When faith doesn't work is when people are questioning, is this going to work? And you have to have the attitude that it works because it's the word. Yeah. Amen. And if Jesus told me not to worry, then that's enough for me. That's enough. That's got to be enough. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. And if you don't believe that, if you're having a hard time still believing that, then you need to spend more time with God. Yeah. Because you're not spending enough time with him. Because if you do, you'll understand that God is, he will always take care of you. Amen. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise glory God. To God. Okay. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Or we'll go to verse 23. This is a scripture that I pray, I would say probably daily, and should do it at least daily, multiple times a day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 23. And it says here, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, or ordered by the Lord, and he delights, God delights in his way. Amen. The steps of a good man. Now that word good, a good man, the word good is actually italicized, which means it wasn't in the original writing. Okay, that's if you see that in your Bible, it's italicized. It means it wasn't originally there. But it says the steps of a good man. I looked up the word man and it's interesting because it literally means a strong man. And the thing that you can understand by the context is what you can understand is a man who it's really righteousness. It's a person who is right before God, because a person who's right before God is strong. They have all that they ever need. How do we know that? Because God said so. How did he know that? Because he made us that way. He made it all happen that way. Amen. And so God made us to be strong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If there is weakness in a Christian, it is not because that God isn't doing something. It is solely and only because they have not connected to the word. Because the word says that you are made more than conquerors, that you are victorious. Hallelujah. That you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That the devil is put under our feet. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says about you. If we got any Christians in here, can I get an amen then? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know you've been giving me a few, but I want more. Amen. Because what we're speaking of, this is truth. We got to get this in us and we got to get it to the point where we're not just saying, okay, that's right. I see it in there. No, we got to say, yes, that's it. Because that's what amen means. Amen means yes, pastor. Hallelujah. Well, I may have added the pastor in there, but it basically means yes, pastor. Yes. Amen. The amen is spoken. Yes. Hallelujah. And so when we see the word, God has made us victors. Yes. Victors. Who's victor? I am. Praise the Lord. I'm a victor. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a conqueror. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. You're an overcomer. Why? Because we're Christians. Because we're blood bought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're blood bought. Jesus paid the way so we could be victorious. So let us no more walk in the lack of victory. Why? Because we were not made to walk in the lack of victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were having a conversation. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're having a conversation. And in this conversation, somebody was talking about somebody else. And they were talking about all these things that they're going through and all these things. And it was just going on and on and on. And I finally got to the point where I kind of got tired of the back and forth of hearing all the bad stuff that's going on. And I just spoke up. And you know what I said? I said, my life is good. Hallelujah. I said, it's really good. That turned the attention of everybody at the table. I was like, my life is God. Listen, you can live that terrible life if you want. You can sit there and talk about how bad it is for so-and-so or how bad it is for you or how bad it is down the street. But I don't care. I don't want, because the Bible doesn't tell me to focus on how bad it is for someone else. The Bible tells me to focus on how good it is for me and to help other people see how good it can be for them too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, God wants us to know that he has made us overcomers. And so that's what we need to be. And we need to have the attitude of overcomers. What's the attitude of an overcomer? Well, it certainly isn't one that's losing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What's that? That's right. We saw a little dish in one of those gift stores, you know, and it says, yeah, be nice to people because everybody's battling something or a silent battle. I'm like, and there again, I was like, that ain't true. Praise the Lord. I ain't battling nothing. Amen. I'm living in victory, glory to God. I'm not in no silent bed. I realize people go through stuff. There's times when I go through things. Praise the Lord. But I certainly ain't going to sit there and claim about how bad the battle is when I know that God has made me a victor. When he's made me victorious, when he's made me more. The Bible didn't say he made you a conqueror. It never says he made you a conqueror. It said he made you more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Well, what's more than a conqueror? I don't know. A conqueror wins. A more than conqueror makes more than wins. Hallelujah. They win and look good afterwards. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's free, no charge. Everybody's battling something. No, you don't have to. See, this is the thing. This is the thing that I get tired of. And Christians, by God, we got to start standing up and changing something. Because everybody's looking around, looking how bad. Everybody's struggling. All this. No, listen. See, that's the problem right there. We don't need to get in line with what the world's doing. We need to stand up and do what God has taught us to do. And that's been sticking victorious instead of being wimps and broken and defeated all the time. Amen. It is our choice. It's our choice whether we're going to walk in victory or not. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the difference? I know sometimes bad things happen. So how do you get through that? You choose that you're not going to stay where you were at. You choose that you're not going to be broken. I've had enough. In 5.5 years, I've had more than enough Christians come to me and tell me how broken they are. You are not broken if you've been blood bought. Hallelujah. It's easy for me to say. Hallelujah. You are not broken if Jesus Christ has paid the way. You are not broken if God says that you are healed. You are not broken if God says you overcome. You're not broken if God says you always win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why did Paul sing in prison? Because he knew who his God was. He didn't sing in prison because he knew where he was. But he sang in prison because he knew who God was. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It can look bad for you for a minute. And it can stay bad for you forever if you focus on it. It can look bad for you for a minute. But if you focus, if you will turn your focus on God. Listen, Christians, we got to be bold about it. You got to be bold about it. And as a pastor, I got to be more bold about it. I got to be more bold about it. I know when people are dealing with stuff, I know how hard it is. I am not unsympathetic to the fact that you're going through something. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I sit there and coddle you just like the world does, and you will still have your problem tomorrow. You will still have it the day after. Why? Because it's not coddling that gets people free. Do you know why God doesn't coddle people? Because he knows that it takes faith to overcome. God has made faith to make you an overcome. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has given you faith to overcome. And if God came down and said, oh, there, child. Why do bad things happen? Because good people don't do enough.
That's right.
Yeah. Why do bad things happen? Because the people of faith aren't the people of faith anymore. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You want things to change in your situation? You want things to change in your area? Stand up and start changing it. Glory to God. Take your authority in Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know. I stepped into something tonight, I think.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. The steps of a good man are order of the Lord. Lord, I go to the Lord every day. I'm like, Lord, order my steps today. Order my steps. And you know what he does? Can you believe this? God shows up and orders my steps. Now, he doesn't appear before me. He doesn't send an angel. You know, Jesus don't come walking in the room. But he's promised me his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit resides on the inside of me. And so when I respond to God's word and I say, Lord, order my steps, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit hears it and he's pleased.
Amen.
And then he shows me what to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
You know, I'm a project kind of minded person. I get into projects. I get a lot of ideas. Amen. I have ideas. I've been saying recently, you know, my wife can't leave me home alone because she does. And she comes home and I've tore something out or broken, you know, tear a door out or a wall or something like that, you know. Because you just can't leave me at home alone. I'm project minded. But, you know, I had this one doorway in my house that I didn't like too much. And I decided, you know, I don't like it. And I voiced my opinion about it many times. And it wasn't going to change. I just don't like it. I don't like the way it looked. It wasn't right. It should have been done differently. It's the way I feel. Amen? Praise the Lord. My wife's like, whatever. But, you know, she go along with my feelings on the matter. So I decide, I get all excited one day and stirred up. And so I decide to rip the doorway out. And now I got a big gaping hole in our wall. Praise the Lord. Now I'm looking at it. I'm like, what do I do with this? I didn't know. Didn't know.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have a real good idea for it. So you know what I did? I waited. Now, my wife might not necessarily like that I rip out and then wait. Praise the Lord. But sometimes you got to. Sometimes you just got to, you know what? Sometimes when there's something in the way, you just got to get rid of it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then wait on the Lord. Yeah. And guess what? God will order your steps even on rebuilding a doorway. He will order your steps when you want it. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that, and I had all kinds of ideas. And I couldn't quite make it, like every time I came up, I'd have this idea, and I was like, yeah, but it just doesn't work. It wouldn't work right. Yeah. Amen? And I don't want to just do it. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do this. And I get excited about it. And I was like, nah, that ain't right. And then I just, well, maybe I'll do this. And I get excited about it. Nah, that's not right. And so I know whenever I'm back and forth, whenever I'm tossed to and fro on anything, I said anything, praise the Lord. Anything in life, doesn't matter if it's something simple, if it's something big. I have been in Home Depot before, looking at lights, knowing that I needed a light and been tossed to and fro about getting it. And so you know what I do? I step back. Even though I need it, I'd step back. Why? And this is little stuff, but this is where we're at, right? Why do I step back? Because God orders my steps. He will make sure I make the right decision if I rely on Him. I rely on God for lights. I rely on God for doorways. I rely on God for churches. I rely on God for healing. But I rely on God for little things too. I rely on God to order my day. Amen? Because God, believe it or not, God cares about what I do. He cares that my day flows pretty well. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So at any rate, I sat there back and forth, you know, and one day I was actually in that room that the doorway goes to, and I was sitting back there, and I was praying to the Lord about ordering my steps. I was seeking God and just ordering things in my life, not the doorway, but just things. And as I'm sitting there, I look over at the doorway, and guess what drops in my spirit? The thing to do. And it was simple. I mean, I just looked at it. I was like, oh, yeah, that would be great. That would look great. Praise the Lord. Started going that way, and in each step that I'm taking, I'm like, this is looking really good. Why? Because God orders my steps. Praise the Lord. You don't worry about anything. Jesus said, don't worry about anything, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He said, don't worry about the stuff. He said, God will take care of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, what I love about this, the steps of a good man, and I did this in my Bible. I connected it back to a verse, one of my favorite verses here, back in Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. It didn't say feed on your own ability. It says feed on His faithfulness. The fact that He will always show up. You just solidify it in your mind right now. Just say it in your mind right now. Say, God, well, just, no, you know what? Don't say it in your mind. Let's all say it out loud. Say, God always comes through. You know why He always comes through? Because He's God. He's faithful. That's what faithfulness does. Faithfulness always comes through. Faithfulness always finds a way. Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know what? You know what a person is who trusts in the Lord and does good? They're a good man, and their steps will be ordered by the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says that God delights in His way. And what happens when God's happy? You know the saying, when mama's happy, everybody's happy, right? Well, when God's happy, y'all happy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. But I love that it says, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. And the Lord was showing me this as I was preparing the sermon. I hear this in my spirit. How did God design us to feed? Praise the Lord. How did God design us to feed? Amen. One of the things we know about feeding is that you feed, you can get full. But what happens a few hours later? You're hungry again. And so the way that He's designed us to feed is to return to the source, or return to a source of eating, praise the Lord, and to feed more. Well, when we're talking about feeding on His faithfulness, there's a reason that God gave us this connection between eating, amen? And I believe that God has given us all these metaphors in life. He's given us this thing to look like this thing, so He can always point to, that's why Jesus always spoke in parables, amen? So let's think about feeding. What do? When you're hungry, you go back to the source, and you feed some more, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When you find a source that feeds you, that's where trust is built. And so if you want to learn to trust God, what you have to do is you have to start feeding on the truth. You have to feed on His Word. You have to feed by going to church, by getting in the Word. You got to feed in prayer. You have to feed on these things because it's taking you back to the source, which is God, and then He will order your steps. Amen? Praise the Lord. That it's so important for us to understand that. That is the place where when you find a source, you got to go back there. You know, when I was thinking about this, praise the Lord, glory to God, the Israelites. I mean, we have examples through this, through Scripture. When the Israelites were hungry in the wilderness, what did God send? Does anyone remember? Manna, right? And what do we know about the characteristic of manna? It showed up in the morning. And He said, take just enough of what you need for today. When they tried to take more because they wanted to have a supply because, well, you know, God supplied it today, but He might not tomorrow. That's the way a lot of us think. But they said, they actually did that. And the next day they went to use it and it was spoiled and it was full of maggots or something, I think. So we understand. God said, but what did He do? He supplied just enough for the day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you think that wasn't purposeful? Was God being mean?
No.
He didn't want them trusting in the manna. He wanted them trusting in Him. If God supplied it today, He'll supply it tomorrow. What about Jesus feeding the multitude of people, the thousands of people that He fed? Remember? He split the loaves and the fish, right? And he split them, and there was 12 baskets afterwards. But notice what Jesus didn't do. He didn't set up a loaf and a loaf of bread and fish ministry where people just flocked in every day and got their food. A soup kitchen, so to speak. I'm not saying soup kitchens are bad, but I'm saying He didn't set that up. Why didn't He? Because He wanted people to trust in God, not the thing. Amen? And see, that's what we're in a situation. We live in a country where everything is so readily accessible that a lot of times we lower our trust in God because it's so easy. Well, our jobs are this or that. We go and see a lot of people. There's a lot of people that won't come to the Lord until they have that crutch taken away. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that about feeding. God wants us to feed off of Him. He wants our faith to be in Him. And so if we're worried, if we're out of that, then we're focused on the wrong thing. That's why people that are so worried about tomorrow or they're worried about the things to come, they don't know who God is because God wants to supply all those things. Amen? Well, praise God. So turn with me now to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 1. I see so much worry on Christians. And it's just not good and it's not God. But you have to understand this. A Christian who insists on worrying is a Christian who will not. God can't bless them out of it. You can pray all day long, but if you're sitting there worrying about it, you're stepping out of faith and you probably aren't going to ever see the answer. Yeah, that's why there's some Christians that live and die. God has put us here. Understand me. God has put us here and He wants us to live. He wants us to be happy. But listen, He also knows this, that if you die, if you're a Christian, if you die, you're going to heaven. And He knows it's much better there. See, God's looking at this. We look at this life just from right here. But God knows that we'll go there. And so if you won't step in faith, God, I don't want to say He wants you to die, but what I'm saying is, that He will allow that process because you won't do what the Word says. Listen, God isn't just intervening. There's some people that think that God just needs to intervene in something. He's got, I've given you my Word. You need to read it. You need to do it. You need to put it to practice. If you don't, you will go without. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. We'll read through verse 10. It says here, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Okay. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. That means we need to know something. Yeah. Listen, if He didn't want them to be ignorant, I'm guessing that if the Apostle Paul walked in here today, he probably would not want you ignorant either. And I'm assuming because God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this to the Corinthians, that God probably doesn't want you ignorant either. Amen? But you can choose to stay in ignorance if you don't listen to the Word. If you don't decide, if you don't determine within yourself that the Word is true, that God always comes through. Amen? Listen, I don't care what your experience is. You have to determine that something is bigger than you, that God is more than what your experience is, that the Word is more true than what you're experiencing. When you do that, that's when you start walking in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's such a thing. It's the ultimate step of faith. But that's what God wants anyways. Amen. So we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. That sounds pretty bad, right? You ever been to that place where you despaired of even life? I've been there. It's not a good place to be. But see, there's, we're going to read more. It goes on to say, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. But look at this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That right there is the key to a Christian who steps out of trial and into victory. The key is right there, is recognizing that God wants you to trust not in yourself, not in your own ability. I'm going to tell you, I'll be so bold as to say this. If there are areas in life that you trust above God, you are going to have a reckoning day with those things. And you will get to the place where that crutch is going to be pulled out. God will require that crutch. Why? Because he said, I will have no other gods before me. Whatever your attention on is what you worship. So if you worship that thing, that's the crutch that will need to be pulled out before you can advance in God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. These are things we have to know. This is why so many Christians, I'm not saying all Christians do this, but so many Christians that don't walk into what God has, this is why they don't, because what they're doing is they hold on to their crutch. They hold on to their natural thing. And God's saying, you got to get rid of it. I don't care about your crutch. God is not afraid to pull your crutch out from under you. You say, well, that's mean. No, it's not. It's God. He wants you to live higher. Listen, if you pull a crutch out from somebody because you want them to step up into something higher, you know, then that's not a bad thing. If you pull the crutch out of somebody to hurt them or to make fun of them, well, that's a bad thing. But God never does that. God isn't going around trying to, remove things from us. He's trying to get things into us. This is the whole purpose of tithing. You know, Christians live in poverty half the time because they won't do the basic things. They won't tithe. God didn't give you tithing because he needs your money. Listen, I gave this example before. I'll say it again. You know what they found? And this was so interesting to me. You know, we have a thing on earth called gold. And gold is a very valuable resource, you know. And the reason that it's a valuable resource is because there's only so much of it. Amen. But then we read in the Bible over the years that the streets of heaven are paved in such pure gold. Praise the Lord. The purest of gold. The streets of heaven, he uses it as pavement. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. And we think about, where's all that gold come from? I don't know if you thought about it, but I think about it. You know, I even saw a thing once that all the gold that's ever been mined out of the earth really isn't that enormous of an amount. But anyways, just recently in the last year, I was reading the news and I saw an article where they found this asteroid that is like basically pure gold all floating around in space. And this asteroid is out there floating around, and they said that if they brought that asteroid to Earth, that just by the amount of gold that's in it, you know, numerically, and what gold prices are currently, that it would make everybody on Earth a trillionaire. Wow. Every single man, woman, and child on Earth a trillionaire. Yeah. Now, of course, we know this. If they brought it to Earth, it would kill the price of gold. It wouldn't be worth anything. But the idea is to tell you how much gold is out there. See, that's the thing. God isn't moved by the little bit that you need. God doesn't care about those little bits. He doesn't need it. Like, gold to God is pavement. Yeah. This is the point I'm trying to bring up to you. Gold to God is pavement. It does not matter to him. He's saying, "What I don't care about your gold. I don't care about your silver. What I care about is your trust." He says, I don't care about your gold and your silver because it's all mine anyways. So if you withhold from God, you're just withholding what's his. And you're not trusting him. And then he can't bless you with more. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it goes on to say, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. Everybody say, does deliver. Does deliver. He does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Yeah. So what do we have to do? We have to resolve it in our minds. We have to get to that place in our minds where no matter what anybody says, no matter what I see, no matter what's going on in life, I trust God. Yeah. He will always supply. Not Pastor, why isn't this happening? No. God will supply. He is my supply. He will supply because he is my supply. Actually, one of the names of God is provider. He calls himself the provider. What's a provider do? He provides. It's the nature of it. You cannot call yourself something if you're not that thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you're not that, you can't call yourself, you can try to call yourself a man if you're not a man, but there's going to be no proof of it. Amen. You can't do the things a man can do. The same thing with a woman. You can't call yourself a woman if you're not a woman. You can't do the things a woman can do. I'm talking about, like, listen, I know people in their minds, they can say whatever they want. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the physical processes. No matter what they come up with in science, a man cannot, or a woman cannot reproduce like a man, and a man cannot reproduce like a woman. Praise the Lord. There are certain things that are in our bodies that are not in your bodies. There are certain things that are in your bodies that are not in my bodies. Those things, they can make it look like it, but they can't make the process. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not being mean here. I'm just telling you the truth. Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, God is a provider. That's who he is. That's his nature. That's his very nature. That's indwelling in him. That's who he is. And then he's decided that he's going to take that nature and he's going to do what with it? He's going to put it right on the inside of us. He put it on the inside of us. He put that nature, that provision nature, on the inside of us. So if we're going around saying, listen, I'm not provided for, you're completely disconnecting from who you are. You are provision. Why? Because that's what God made you to be. And then what he did was he made your body to produce fruit, so he would show you that you produce fruit through yourself. Because that's who he's made you to be. Hallelujah. Do you notice that? That everything that God, it produces, reproduces after its kind. God made us in the image and likeness of him. The image and likeness of him. So we reproduce after our kind. What is our kind? Our kind is our father. Hallelujah. Listen, you look at my boys, you can find details in them that look, or in how they look and how they act, that resemble me. And they say, oh yeah, that's your son. My daughter's the same. Oh, yeah, that's your daughter. I can see that part. Well, then I say to my wife sometimes, oh, that's all you and that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But why don't we do that with God? He's our Father. We are adopted in. We have been given a new nature. We have been made something that we weren't before. You may not have been before. That's okay. It doesn't matter what you were before. It only matters what you are now. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. He fed the Israelites with manna, but he didn't give them more. He didn't give them overflowing. They didn't have overflow. You know why they were eating manna? Because they weren't faithful to go in the land that he promised them. He said, I will take you into a place that constantly flows with what? Milk and honey. That is all the provision that you'll need. He said, I'll take you in there, and that's where you're going. They wouldn't go in because they didn't believe. So what did he say? Stay in the wilderness. Now I will feed you. I'll still take care of you. He said, I'll still take care of you. And he did take care of him. He sent him manna, but he said, it's not going to flow. Yeah. It's not going to flow yet because you need to learn something. What was the purpose of the wilderness? It was that they would learn something. What did he want them to learn? That they would need to trust him. Yeah. Listen, Christian, they said, the Bible tells us that they are our examples. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And he said, if he didn't spare them, he won't spare you either. That's what the New Testament says. If he didn't spare them, he won't spare you. So guess what? Let's get on board, go into a land flowing with milk and honey so we can bypass the manna, because the manna didn't taste good. Milk and honey, it tastes good. Well, you might not like milk, but you understand, praise the Lord. People want the fat of milk. You might not want milk. Well, praise the Lord, you get cream. And you whip up cream, and what do you get? You get whipped cream. That's milk, hallelujah. If there's anybody that doesn't like whipped cream, praise the Lord, we need to check their head, because there's something wrong with them, especially homemade whipped cream. Flowing with milk and honey, what does that mean? It's going to be rich and it's going to be sweet. That's what God wants for us. That's what he had for his people then. That's what he has for his people now. But you won't walk into it. You're gonna eat manna. What did they say about manna? Oh, manna, it fed us, but it was bland. And then they complained about that. Like, well, Lord, you're feeding us, but it doesn't taste good. He's like, I had milk and honey for you, but you were too stupid to go after it. Yeah, absolutely. Let's not be stupid. Is there anyone here who wants milk and honey? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have soup Sunday. Maybe we need to do milk and honey Saturday. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go into a land that's flowing with that. You know, that's the thing about God that's awesome, is he orders my steps. You know what he orders them to? Flow. Yeah. That's what God orders. When the Bible says that he orders the steps of a good man, what is that? It's flow.
Yeah,
amen. What is it? Is he just trying to tell you what to do? No, because God doesn't just tell you what to do. But he's saying, if you'll follow me, see, because the Holy Spirit, he leads us. He says, if you'll follow me, I'm going to take you into flow. Flowing with milk and honey. It's a Bible word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The glory flow. What's the glory flow? That's milk and honey, folks. Hallelujah. It's in your finances. It's in your natural life. It's in your spiritual life. It's in your church life. It's everywhere you go. Praise the Lord. Your shopping life. Yeah. God blesses our shopping life. Amen. Why? Because he cares about us. He's a good dad. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Amen. But you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you won't walk in it. If you don't believe it, you won't see it. If you won't believe it, you will never see it.
Right.
How do you know you're not believing it? Because you're questioning it.
Right.
Well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand what's going on. Yes, I do, because I've been there, but I also understand what this says. And I know that this says something different than what you're facing. And if you'll trust this over your situation, guess what? Praise the Lord. Because life isn't the flow of milk and honey, is it? Yeah. What's life, the natural life, what's it the flow of? It's death. Yeah. What is life? What are the only two things that are sure in life? Death and taxes.
Yeah.
Death and taxes. That's all we have to be sure of in life. That's what they said. Yeah, right. If you are a carnal person, that's what you have to look forward to. You have looking forward. Listen, I just before I was coming here, I heard a knock on my door, getting ready for church, a knock on my door, somebody running for some kind of office, you know, and they're saying this and that. They're like, they just raised the taxes. They just raised the taxes. Everybody gets mad about raising the taxes. Well, they say that about life, you know, death and taxes. You're going to raise taxes. But listen, I got a flow that's bigger than taxes.
Yeah.
You want to know something? When he was sitting there talking to me about that, the guy didn't see me. He seemed fine and everything. This guy running for some office. I don't even know what it was. I don't know what it does. But yeah, I asked some questions anyways. But, you know, he was talking about stuff, you know. He seemed fine. But I was getting there thinking. I was like, you know what? I didn't know that they raised taxes. And I wouldn't know that they raised taxes because I don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York's got bad taxes. I don't really care. Why? Because God's called me to be there. Amen. If he's called me to be there, guess what? It flows with milk and honey for me. Why? Because he's called me to be there. What do you think Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't apply to us. Well, it might not apply to you, but it certainly applies to me. Amen. That's why I love all these people that argue all these things. All these things that I've seen done, they argue healing. Well, I've seen God heal. So you can't convince me of that. Well, they argue tithing. Well, I've seen provision. Like, you can't believe I've seen provision.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Can't argue with me about that. Everything that people argue about, when you do it, yeah, I see people after people after people who are set free from things, and then I hear somebody over here arguing because they're offended by it. Well, you'd be offended by it, but you just won't walk in it. Amen?
Right.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 11:28. Praise God. Hallelujah. My wife set up the fast clock tonight. Amen. Matthew 11. Of course, we know these scriptures, but yeah, they're good to go to anyways. I'm not getting there fast enough, though. Matthew 11:28-30. Hallelujah. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Read these scriptures a lot. I've said these scriptures a lot of Christians that don't live in rest. And they sit there. What does it mean to come to him? It means to trust him.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean just show up. Hey, Jesus, I'm here. He doesn't just need somebody who's there. He needs somebody who trusts him. Being present doesn't get you. See, this is what a lot of Christians think. There's a lot of Christians that think that going to church, being present, does something between them and God. There are Christians that we have, you know, the good-hearted people or whatever, but they maybe just not faithful in church attendance. And every single time they show up, they almost come up to me like, praise the Lord, like I made it to church and look how awesome I am. You know, I mean, don't say that, but you know what I mean? There's almost like this, oh, I got to church, hallelujah. Well, listen, you should get to church because God gave it to you to prosper. If you don't go to church, you can't prosper. That's not on God's end. You're not doing me a favor by showing up. You're doing you a favor. But Christians think they get brownie points for showing up to church. God gave you church to bless you. Praise the Lord. You know, like, listen. You know, when I was first little, maybe Mom had to do the airplane, you know, when I was eating. You know, come on, Jeffrey, open up. And do, you know, a little buzzing around and, open up. And then when I started doing it on my own, that was exciting for a minute. But by God, if my mom still had to feed me that way, everybody would think something was wrong. You know what I mean? Because now I realize a couple things. Number one, food tastes good. Number two, it sustains me. And so when I'm hungry, I need it. If I want to live, I need it. If I want to have energy, I need it. Praise the Lord. Guess what church is to you? It sustains you. Praise the Lord. If you get excited because you showed up to church, I'm going to tell you something. You are the baby. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Listen, I didn't come up with that on my own. God just gave me that. Hallelujah. You're the baby. You need to be fed. You need to have somebody distracting you so you eat your squash. Yeah. Your beans and all that. So listen, we have to, folks, if we want to be effective in life, we can't be babies forever. Because one thing we know about babies, they don't last very long on their own. If you put a baby over the corner and don't attend to it, it's going to die. I'm not saying it to be rude or crude or mean or anything like that, but it's the truth. It won't last. Why? Because they can't sustain themselves. But God has made us just like He has made us naturally to grow up in the perfect world. I know that there are people that get handicapped and various things and stuff like that. But in general, praise the Lord, it's most people aren't surprised when a baby is born and it's healthy. Most people aren't surprised when a baby starts to talk. In fact, the only time people are surprised is when things don't happen, right? Because they know that that's not right. Well, it's the same thing with us spiritually. At some point, we need to grow up more than just oh, I showed up to church. No, what are you doing for God? Seriously, where do you want to live? Do you want to always live as a three-year-old, a toddler? So many Christians, so many Christians are perpetual toddlers. And because they refuse. What's the difference between listen, I understand we go through hard times. What you receive or what you accept is up to you. How you deal with that hard time, everybody going through a hard time doesn't make you special. It doesn't get, you don't get special points for being, some people, they carry their sicknesses around. They carry all these things around like it's some kind of badge of honor. Listen, it doesn't make you special because you got something. It doesn't make you special. Praise the Lord. What makes you special is when you decide that you're not going to allow something to keep you down. When you decide that you're going to grow up, that you're going to step out. Amen. One of the things I love about, young people, I say I love it, but I don't really love it. But one of the things I love about young people, is when they start growing up, they start learning, hey, there's things like work. And guess what? Work ain't fun all the time. You don't always enjoy work. Work isn't, you don't always get to work at the place you want to work. But you got, listen, if you want to eat, you got to work. The Bible tells us that. Now, God will bless you. God's been blessing my son. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's been faithful. Praise the Lord. But God will bless you. He will increase you. He'll bring you out of the garbage jobs and put you in good jobs. If you'll be faithful and you follow him and you do the things the word says. But see, if you're not, you'll just be caught there. But I always get a kick out of these people that's like the job to job to job to job to job just because they don't want to work. So I don't like it. Well, guess what? There's lots of, I've worked tons of jobs with tons of people that I didn't like. Not tons of jobs, but I really haven't worked tons of jobs. Amen. Praise the Lord. I worked one job for most of that time, praise the Lord. And I plan on doing this until, either Jesus comes back or I go to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Like what he's saying is you are not meant to carry that thing by yourself. So what are you laboring? He's not talking about work. It's not like you can't go to Jesus because you're a construction worker or a block layer and say, Lord, Lord, take this from, you know what I mean? I mean, you can believe God for a better job or something, or, less labor, but a laborious work. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about you labor in life and are heavy laden. Amen. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Praise God.
Listen, if you reject the very word that Christ has given us, you are rejecting the help that God has given you. You don't have, you do not have to stay where you're at if you're not satisfied. You have a choice, and the choice is right here. I will give you rest, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah, every once in a while we find people that start acting like coming to church is hard. It's like it's work. This is where you get rest. If it's hard for you to come to church, you're looking at it wrong. You've let the devil in somewhere, and you're being distracted from what God is. God has made this your rest. Yeah. This is your answer for life, man. This is so you get to walk out with a little hop and skip in your step and get to go into the blessings that God has. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many, over the last 2 weeks, we've been in church like, what, 9, 10 times, something like that? In like 2 weeks? Yeah, 10th service in 2 weeks. Why do we do it? I understand that there's, you know, you get tired and stuff like that. So you get tired from staying up late, too. You get tired from watching movies. You ever fall asleep during a movie? That means you were tired. It was all entertainment, but you were still tired. You fell asleep. Amen. Tired happens. Why? Because we're humans. Yeah, when you have so many hours in the day and you got to sleep so many of them. So tired will happen. I'm not saying you can't be tired, but people come in and they're like, like, this is the house of the Lord. This is where you're set free, and if you're not set free, it's because you're rejecting the word. Don't reject the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. When it's God, the answer will be there. It always will. If you'll learn to seek after Jesus, if you'll learn how to seek after the Spirit, if you'll learn how to seek God in righteousness, if you'll learn how to do that, what is that? Just hunger for it. Lord, I just want to be right with you. Yeah. It starts with those words right there. Lord, I just want to be right with you. Show me what that means. Yeah. Maybe you don't know on a day-to-day basis. Maybe you leave here and you forget everything and you get into that position. And if you can remember, Lord, show me how to please you. Yeah. Show me how to be right before you. Yeah. If you can just remember that, glory to God. He'll work with that. And he'll show you. Amen. I'm not going to get to that scripture. Not going to get to that scripture. Not going to get to those scriptures. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But what we have to understand is some of these are scriptures that we're in often, so it's okay. But, I mean, they're always good for us to hear, but, you know, time and stuff. But, of course, we have to renew our mind to these things. And that's ultimately, you know, we know Romans 12, 2, you know, it talks about being transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Being transformed by what? Renewing of your mind. How does transformation happen? Renewing your mind. What do you need in life if something's not working? Why? Because you need transformation. Praise the Lord. And how do you get the transformation? Renewing your mind. Amen. How do you renew your mind? You go to the Word. I love what Brother Hagin always says. He said, your mind doesn't stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. So if you can think about it that way, praise the Lord. You wake up. Sometimes it's not even a whole day and your hair gets messy again. Amen. You ever look in the mirror and think, like, how did that happen? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't been doing that, but all of a sudden I got the, hair sticking up or out or something like that. What is it? Same thing with the Word. Sometimes in the day you're going along and all of a sudden your spiritual hair is uncombed. How do you know your spiritual hair is uncombed? Praise the Lord. Well, you just ain't thinking right, or maybe you ain't feeling right, or something like that. Your spiritual hair is messy. Yeah. Maybe the devil came in. You ever had somebody come up to you and glue like that on your head? Amen. Well, the devil's doing that to our spirits all the time. He's coming in trying to rattle things up because he wants you to believe something other than what's in the Word. But what do? We have to renew our mind. Why do we renew our mind? Because once we go back to renewing our mind, that transformation happens. Glory to God, and we're off running again with pretty hair. Praise the Lord. Nice beehive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we understand that this is the flow of God. Amen. Renewing our minds to the things of God. Not worrying about what's coming. Just trusting Him to take us and order our steps. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:11. This is where we're going to close. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give us this day our daily bread. I love the Lord's Prayer. You know, we all recite the Lord's Prayer. We get into religious circles and they recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, every week. I was in churches where every week they said the Lord's Prayer. And what's it say right here? Give us today our daily bread. Give it to me today. That's what you're after. Lord, order my steps today. That's what he's saying. Why? In God's order is all the provision. Why? Because God is provider. order my steps today. Show me which way I need to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's so much more to this. There's so much more out there, but I think we got it. Amen. We're not going to walk in weakness. We're not going to walk in fear. We're going to walk in faith, because when we walk in faith, we walk into all that God has for us. Amen. And there's more, folks. There's more. There's more. There's more. You believe it? Hallelujah. There's more. Glory to God. God's doing more. Praise the Lord. You just got to trust Him.